Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Why don't you turn to your Bible in John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 43. I just want to share a few thoughts with you as we have now already stepped into 2010, this being the first Sunday of this year. It's good to remind ourselves of our purpose or our goal for the year. And it's not just for a year, but it's a time where we look at that. It's, you know, last year's last year, and this is a new year, and it's a clean slate, and you know, what are we going to do this year, and how are we going to live this year, and what's our commitment to Christ this year? And we consider those types of things. And part of the vision, obviously not just of this church, but the vision of God for our life. I want us to look this morning at John chapter 1, verse 43. And it says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And now he's just starting to call his first disciples, so you know the setting of this. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Now, I want you to, before we read any further, I want you to understand that we're going to label Philip in this. We're going to label him as an inviter, the one who invites. And it's always nice to be invited somewhere, isn't it? Somebody comes up, calls you by name, and invites you to go somewhere, or invites you to be a part of something. And I want you to know, Philip has this spirit of invitation. And I want that spirit in me. I want that spirit of invitation. I want us to have it as individuals that make up this church, a spirit of invitation. So Jesus says to Philip, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, who have already been called by the Lord, was from the town of Bethsaida. Now Philip, the inviter, okay, remember that, the inviter, found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now I want you to know, when he says the son of Joseph, it's not that he's taking away from being the son of God. He's just saying, legally, you know, you may have heard of Joseph. And legally, that is Jesus' father, though it's not his natural father, because we know that Jesus was conceived by Mary, virgin, by the Holy Spirit. So, verse 46, Nathanael responds, Nazareth? Now, my Bible has an exclamation point after Nazareth, so that's why I say it that way. I'm not just, you know, preacher yelling. All right? Nazareth? That's, you know, let me help you with the context. It's like saying, you know, Brett Favre went to the Vikings and you told somebody and they went, the Vikings? Nazareth? Nathanael says this, can anything good come from there? Philip says, come and see. He didn't, it's interesting, he didn't argue with Nathanael. He didn't argue with him. See, you know, you and I, when we try to invite someone to church, for example, we hear what they say, or we hear how they talk normally, and all of a sudden we draw a conclusion that this person will never come to church with me. They'll never go to some Christian businessman's meeting. They'll never go to some woman's Bible study. They'll never come to youth on Wednesday night. Or they'll we look at how they talk and how they act, and all of a sudden we chalk them up as, you know what, they're just going to turn me down. I've heard them say things to other people. I just, you know, and all of a sudden, we just we forget about the spirit of Philip that just says, you know what, I'm going to invite. He didn't get caught in an argument. He just said, we found Jesus. You know, the one that was prophesied about. We found him. Oh, can anything good come from there? Ah, church. And Philip didn't get all tangled up with Nathanael's sarcasm or kind of negative attitude. All he said was, come and see. Come and see. You know, when a few might be going to a restaurant and I invite somebody, I want them to come and be a part. And I feel a little bit of responsibility for them to have a good time. I'll just tell you, that's me. That's not how we're all wired. And yet, you know, that's a little bit of a trap. Because it's not just up to me. And when we put it in the context of spirituality and church, you know what? The Lord knows how to give somebody a good time and a meaningful time. So I don't have to worry about it. And Philip isn't worried about it. He just says, in his mind, if we can kind of project ourselves a little bit, he says, I'm not going to argue with Nathanael's cynicism or his prejudices about Nazareth. You can look at people around you who you'd like to invite to be a part of some Christian event or church or a study or whatever it is, and you can think, oh, gee, you know, they got some prejudices against. Philip just let it go, and he just said, come and see. If I can put it in modern vernacular, would you just come, check it out? If you don't think so, that's fine. But why don't you just come and check it out? When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, because Nathanael responds to Philip's invitation to just come and see, come check it out. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is no fault, nothing false. And Nathanael says to Jesus, how do you know me? How do you know me? Jesus reveals something about Nathanael that Nathanael begins to understand, there's no way this stranger to me could know me. How do you know me? How does my reputation precede me with you? There is no way that you could know this. Here is a true Israelite, and there's nothing false in him. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered. He goes further with him. I love this. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Before you were even invited, I saw you. And I'll tell you how I saw you. You were under the fig tree. How'd you even know it was me? I mean, all kinds of questions. See, Philip just invited him and said, you know what? God knows how to reveal himself to every person. God knows how to reveal himself to Nathanael. And God knows how to reveal himself to you. God knows how to reveal himself to the people you know who aren't here this morning. He knows how to do it. Not only does he know how to do it, he wants to do it. You have been praying, some of you have been praying for people, maybe for a long time, maybe for a short time, that they would come to know the Lord as their personal Savior, that they would experience salvation, that their sins would be forgiven, that they wouldn't be lost in life or lost in religious obligation that has nothing to do with personal salvation in Jesus Christ. You've been praying for them. You know what? This is 2010. What might happen this year? Your prayers could be answered. God might save the one you've been praying for. He might reveal himself to them in some setting, somewhere, at some time. But you know what? They just might need the opportunity to say yes, or to say no, or to say, I'll think about it. And we bring that opportunity with God's help by something very simple. It's called an invitation. It's called an invitation. I do that at the end of most services here. I make an invitation for people to respond to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I don't know every person that's sitting out there. I don't know everything that's going on in their life. But God does, and He's revealing Himself to us in this room continually. If we listen, if we hear. And so at the end of the service, I just offer an opportunity. I just make an invitation. I present an opportunity to say yes, to say no, for a person to walk out and think about it. I'm not responsible for their answer. I'm not responsible for your answer. I'm just responsible to have the spirit of invitation. That's it. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. God, He wants to show Himself in a personal way to people. Then Nathanael declared, made a declaration, Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. In other words, I did some miracle. I did some type of miraculous revelation about you, to you, so that you would know. And Jesus says, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael, you shall see even greater things than that. I want us to grab this principle for ourselves and for people. That once we believe, we will see greater things. Once you believe, the unveiling of God becomes greater and greater because you begin to see more and more of Him. That's how it works with God. It's just as we believe and as we express faith, more and more of His revelation comes to us. Not that we want to go back in history, but do you remember what some of you were like before you knew the Lord? But because of your faith, and because you believed, you got to see more and more of God. You've seen more and more of what He does. Do you understand that some of you in this room, people were praying for before you knew the Lord? And do you understand that some people gave up praying for you? Yeah. Lost cause. They'll never change. Oh my, the Lord's just not hearing my prayer. Oh, they keep rejecting God. Well, you know what? The Lord hasn't given up on showing Himself to you. And when you believed, now it's revelation upon revelation, precept upon precept, truth upon truth, and more you begin to see from when you first believed. That's what can happen to the person you're praying for that you think maybe is cynical or critical of church or had a bad experience or they're trapped in religion or they're whatever they are doing, lost. Lost and not knowing they're lost. God has a way. We just got to invite. We just try to provide opportunity. We don't try to drag someone. We don't try to coerce them. We don't try to twist their arm. We don't force them. We don't make them. We don't manipulate them. We just invite them. That's all we do. We invite. And then leave room for the Holy Spirit to do the work. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on me, on the Son of Man," Jesus says. There are some things we can do as we invite people that probably help the invitation. There are some things that we can do and sometimes it's inviting a stranger and they don't really know us, but it increases the success of that taken opportunity of an invitation. Obviously it's a work of the Holy Spirit, but it's sure nice to receive an invitation from somebody who, I don't know, they give the impression that they're a good time, that they might be fun, that they might be interesting, that they might be attractive. And when I say that, I don't mean physically attractive, just that their person is attractive. Who they are is an attraction, not a repulsion. There are some things that you and I need to remember that we can be doing in a way that we treat people and talk to people. And are we a good time? Or are we a bummer? I mean, all of that has a part because we are representing Him. And all of us have probably at some point or another gotten in the way. We did something that probably wasn't wise or best. Or we just started jamming stuff down people's throat, or we became a pestering, and we called it persistence. We tried to put a holy label on it, and really, we were just driving people away from God. And we called it evangelism. There are some things that we can do. Because evangelism, you hear this, evangelism is not an event. There are times that we work towards, you know, an outreach or a crusade or some event to reach people. I understand that. But for you and I as Christians, evangelism is not an event. It's that we are inviters. It's who we are. Evangelism is not just for the evangelist. They are gifted in it. And they, God has anointed them and empowered them to preach and do miracles and cast the net, so to speak, and have a full harvest. But you and I as Christians, you know, we're just inviters. We can be evangelistic that way. We may not be the one telling the gospel with words, but we're the one who's like Philip says, "Jesus, Nathaniel, you guys shake hands. I want to introduce you to each other." That's all it is. That's all it is. The spirit of invitation. You know the really cool thing when we remove the smallness and we can begin to maybe open our eyes and see the kingdom and God at work at large? You come across somebody and you just invite them. But you didn't know that their grandma was praying for them who lives down in Alabama. You know what I mean? She's been praying for her grandson for years and years and years, and took him to Sunday school when he was a little boy. And he moved away and got tangled up in life and doing his own thing. And all of a sudden you come across and meet him and you invite him to church, or invite him to a study, or invite him to a men's event that Dave Sanborn pulls together for the men at the church, and he shows up. And all of a sudden there's this introduction. And the men didn't come in and, you know, he had a good time with the men. And though he came skeptical or maybe cynical or whatever. That wasn't the argument. Just come and see. Come and check it out. Come and have a cup of coffee. That's all it is. I know some Christians have a problem with coffee because it's a drug and it has caffeine in it. But, you know, be gracious with me, because I've had a lot of coffee with lost people. And even though the darkness of your caffeine was present, God still did a spiritual work in somebody's life. Then have a caffeine-free Pepsi. Whatever. Call it what you want. I don't know, maybe it, whatever it is. I mean, days like today, I can't help but to dream about playing golf with somebody. I went out in the garage and all of a sudden I heard this chattering this morning. And it was my golf clubs. They were going, take me in. So I brought him in and threw him on the bed and said, Sue, you got to sleep on the couch. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. I'm serious. It's days like today. It was this morning. I was on the way to church and I thought, you know, it's so bitter and it's so cold, but I started to think about golf, and then I started to think about a man who visited here last Sunday for the first time, who is friends with some of you. Yeah, he was here. Who I played golf with. I told you about that. A couple times every summer. Played alone, talked about life, talked about Christianity, talked about Jesus. I know I'm not the only one who's talked to him about that. I know that guy had conversations with Big Bad Bobby back here on fishing trips or racing events. I know they've talked about the Lord and politics and who knows what else. I know. But we just want to invite people. Let God be God. You and I invite. We are not responsible whether they say yes or no, but we can sure help things become easier for them to say yes. By being nice, being kind, having a smile. You know what? Tell a joke or two. If you don't know any, talk to Pastor Randy Larson. He's not here this morning because he's preaching down in Westby. But you talk to him. I get together with that guy. I tell you what. I know what you did. But you know what? I haven't. He tells me some of the same jokes over and over. I still chuckle and laugh. Once in a while I say, Randy, I've only got another minute. You told me that one. Do you have any others? Or sometimes I let him go through the whole joke and then I'd say the punchline right before he does. Not in front of people, but just with him I'd say, yeah, you told me that one. You know what? People are drawn to a smile. They're drawn to kindness. That's what they're drawn to. And those are characteristics of God. Because what draws men to repentance? What draws men to repentance? But what's the Bible say? The loving kindness of God is what draws us to repentance or a changed life. So if we've already stepped into this year, let's have the Spirit of the Lord that we see in Philip. He was just an inviter. Come and see. Come check it out. Go with me. Oh, if I invite that person, they're probably going to need a ride. Come on. Oh, if I invite that person, I'm probably going to have to go to lunch with them. Yeah? Yeah? So what? It's time to invite. It's amazing how much busier life gets, even though we think we're saving time because we have email. That has saved us no time. We're still busy. And we will remain busy until we step in and say, okay, the spirit of invitation is going to take a higher place and a higher expression in my life. Philip had it, man. Philip had it. He just said, hey, this is who we found. Oh, yeah, right, from Nazareth. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Come and see. Come and see. You and I do not have to have all the answers to be evangelistic. We just got to introduce people to the one who has the answers. That's it. And he knows how to communicate. Jesus knows how to speak for himself. The Holy Spirit knows how to soften hearts. The Holy Spirit knows how to convict of righteousness and unrighteousness. He knows how to do all that. I don't have to do all that. That is him. But he's in me and says, hey, want to include you. Go invite so-and-so. Go talk to so-and-so. Go buy so-and-so lunch. And you know what? It's not always as spiritual as the Lord coming to me in a moment of deep prayer. And the Lord gives me a name and the picture of the person's face. It's happened. But you know, most of the time it's like, oh, hey, kind of bumped into him. Hey, you want to go and... There was no great revelation of the Lord. The Lord didn't say to me, oh, invite them to do... It just, you know what? It's a spirit of invitation. We're just, hey. And besides, through Jesus Christ's grace, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. It wasn't a coincidence. Okay? Spirit of invitation. Who have we invited lately? Who have we taken out lately? What might happen in 2010 if we really had the spirit of invitation? What might happen? Who might be saved? Who might be healed? Who might be delivered? Pretty cool when you start to get the big picture instead of just our picture. Okay, I got to go to this meeting. I got to go get groceries. I got to make this phone call. I got to do this. I got to do... That's all this. We understand we have the responsibilities of life. But along doing the responsibilities of life, we got to lift our head and see the big picture. And along those responsibilities, have the spirit of invitation. We want them to know that we have songs of hope and songs of joy. And like the prophetic word that I read this morning, they're just caught up maybe looking at all the stuff that's going bad. I mean, it's simple stuff. And you don't have to be real clever or anything. I mean, they can be talking about bad news and say, hey, you want some good news? You know what? That's why I go to church on Sunday. I actually get to hear some good news. You want to come? Oh, church, I don't know. Hey, it's up to you. When you want to go, it's fine. In fact, if you want to go this Sunday, I'll take you to breakfast first. Okay? I'll tell you what, if you start doing that and you can't afford the breakfast, you bring me the receipt. As long as you brought somebody. I don't mean you're taking all your children with you. And you say, well, my two-year-old really isn't saved. I mean, they never profess Christ, so it's an evangelistic prayer. That's not what I'm... No. I'm just telling you, don't let a breakfast or a lunch or a cup of coffee or whatever stop you. You bring me the receipt. Just give me a couple days to turn around and reimburse you. Okay? Because you might be the eighth person that morning. Friends, let the spirit of invitation hit you. If we were to really sit and go through our contact list, If we were to do this in this room, okay? If we were to say, contact list, and we pull it up, okay? Some of it would be overlap. We'd have some of the same people. But how many people do you think we could know from this area if we all pulled up our contact list? I wonder what the number of people would be. That'd be phenomenal. Okay? In fact, Marlene, when you're not busy, kind of get everybody's contact list and figure out what... The people we know! The people we know! Let's get the spirit invitation. God's on the move. I need to get in on it because he wants us in on it. So maybe we need to start inviting people. Yeah. You're going to start looking at doing the groceries different if you grasp that. You're going to start looking at going to sporting events just differently. You'll start looking at it different. You're going to start talking with people. You're going to start sitting with people. You're going to, you know, and maybe you're like, oh, people aren't my thing. Oh, man, people aren't my thing. Well, listen, Jesus transforms us because if you're a Christian, people are your thing. They're one of your things. I don't mean that we're objects. I'm just saying it's one of our things. It's what we do. It's who we are. And some find it easier than others. I understand that. But the spirit of invitation must manifest itself in all believers, regardless of personality giftings. It also calls us into accountability. Because when we're out and we're not around Christians, and how we talk to the clerk and the waiter and the waitress, and they know who we are and where we're from, yeah. How we talk to the staff at the assisted living places. Yeah. Oh, you're the pastor. Oh, New Life. Who are you here to visit? So-and-so. Oh. Their family goes to your church? Maybe. No, I don't say that. Huh? Really? You know? I go in and out of that Quick Trip. And some of the staff know me by name. Some don't, because they work different shifts, and sometimes I pop in there when, you know, I don't normally. And I just had the pleasure of telling one young gal, because I was filling up with fuel in the evening, and, you know, she's saying, Randy, have a good New Year's, and have a, you know. I said, yeah, plan to. That's always a hope, as long as I don't get called on an emergency. Now, I know that that's a leading question, because I know that she doesn't know what I do. Well, I'm just kind of simply leading her down another step on the path. Emergency. Emergency? Yeah, as long as I don't get called an emergency. Oh, are you, like, do you drive an ambulance or something? I said, no, I'm not involved in that. But sometimes I get called as emergencies. What do you do? Well, I'm the pastor of a church. You are? So yeah. Oh, well, what church? See, I didn't just tell her right away. Let her ask questions. Now she's coming to me for questions. She's coming to me for answers. Do you understand? It's simple. It's not complicated. Did I win her to the Lord? No. But she knows who I am, where I go to church, that I'm the pastor there. And guess what? I didn't just come in and say, hey, I'm the pastor. I just showed a question. And if she was going to bite, then she's looking for more info. So I give an answer that still leads a question for her to ask. Oh, you're a pastor. Well, what church? You see, it's all of a sudden, and if they don't ask the questions, they don't ask the questions. Because guess what? She wants job security. I'm going to be back. And don't kid me. I know what went on behind the counter between a couple of those workers after I left. Did you know he's the pastor of that? How do I know that went on? Because she's a woman. Oh, I love saying that stuff. Just because it's fun. Just because it's fun. And you know what? People come in here this morning, they need to get acquainted with the Lord, but they need to know this, that coming to new life, you can laugh and have fun. And that this preacher isn't dry all 45 minutes. There's 5 seconds of humor somewhere. Let's stand up together. And let's believe the Lord for 2010 that we're going to see people saved and healed and delivered and come to church because they were invited by somebody. It wasn't just the ad in the phone book. It wasn't just because we put up a Christmas advertisement on a billboard on Highway 16 on the east end of town, where most of you probably don't drive by it and didn't know we even had it. It's not just so, it's us. It's great to have the ads. It's wonderful to make a statement. But let's face it, the best thing is what? Word of mouth. Best thing is customer reviews. Right? You're online. You want to look at something by your customer reviews. What are they saying? Da, 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 da. Well, hey, that's us. So invite. You don't have to get in an argument. Let all the prejudice stuff, what you know. You know, I let stuff roll off my back. I was in a store here in town, and I was leaving, and the clerk says, "So how's the church going?" I said, "You know what? Going pretty good." I said, "You know what? It has its challenges, like every place, but you know what? It's going good. There's new people coming, and, you know, thanks for asking. I don't know if you remember me, but you called me," and I said, "Yeah, I remember. I did call you on the phone and left you a message." Yeah. Yeah. As I'm walking out the door, right before I go out the door, he says, "Yeah, I still haven't found a church I like." Now, he's been here. And he says, "But I still haven't found a church I like." I said, "Oh, okay. What am I going to get caught in an argument? Oh, you've been to our church. Now I got to feel bad. You don't like our church. Oh, come, please come back. Oh, I'm so sorry." Okay. What are you going to say to that? All right. Okay. I mean, deep in my heart, the carnal part of me feel want to say, "You mean you haven't found a church you like or a church that likes you?" But I didn't say that. On the recordings, stop before... Yeah, okay. Listen, not everybody's going to like it here. I know that. If we invite them somewhere, they might end up somewhere else. It's that the Lord and them get in contact and develop a personal relationship. And just invite. I have told people who've come to this church, I said, "Hey, we're glad to have you here. If there's something we can be doing, that's great. If this can be an oasis for you and you end up going to church somewhere else, that's okay. Just make sure that you land somewhere and continue to have that faith in the Lord Jesus." That's it. Okay? That's it. So let the spirit of invitation come.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.